welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new season's worth of podcasts featuring the Blair Oaks Falcons. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Greg Jackson in the News Tribune. And before Greg and I discuss the upcoming season, let's listen to a little bit of Greg's season-opening interview with Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage.
What was the offseason like? Just, you know, we talked about this before already. I mean, you know, you have the high expectations coming off a state championship, but you always have a, you know, the next group always wants to be the one that kind of picks up a ton. How did offseason go, whether it was in the spring with the workouts or the summer with seven-on-sevens and things like that?
Well, if this is any indication of what it was like, I didn't ever want to miss. It was so much fun being in the weight room. These guys attacked the offseason. They had a chip on their shoulder. I've used that analogy a lot, but it made me want to be here. I mean, I was here every morning early. I wanted to be around them because the enthusiasm level was real high. Our weight room attendance was awesome, but our strength goals were out of this world. So it made it a lot of fun. So if you ask me personally, I wanted to be here, if that tells you any indication how our offseason went.
And then, you know, the first Saturday you had the intra-squad scrimmage. This past Friday you had the jamboree. What were some of the takeaways you had heading into the season opener?
Well, the scrimmage, we got to see more of what we're going to try and how we're going to try to attack. The jamboree was more, hey, let's get through this, let's get healthy, and let's try to go against somebody else. So the only thing I didn't like about the jamboree was a little of our passion. I didn't think we were as passionate. I will take full responsibility for that. I downplay the jamboree tremendously because we play week one opponent as Maryville, and that's where you really go after it. I mean, if you look at the NFL teams, the preseason is about getting prepared for week one. So we used everything we could during the scrimmage and also the jamboree to prepare us to physically play week one.
Speaking of week one, your opponent, the Maryville Spoofhounds, I mean, this has always been a game that a lot of people around here have been looking forward to. What can you tell me that you've seen on film from this Maryville team? It sounds like they've got a lot of those key players back from last year's team.
They're so clean. I use that term as a very complimentary term. Clean meaning they're in the right spot. They're taking the right steps. They're doing the right things. They make plays. And all those things lead to that. You know, sometimes you turn on film and you'll see a team and they're dynamic, but they're not clean. They do a lot of things. You're just like, ooh, they're not doing the little things right. Maryville, you can tell, does every little thing right, along with having great athletes and being extremely well coached. Very formidable opponent. This will be an interesting game for us.
All right, that was Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage. Greg, we are coming off a season where you don't want that season to end because things are going so well and it ends with a state championship. But the problem is you got to come back and you do it again at some point. So now we're starting a whole nother season. We got a lot to talk about in this one. I mean, there's always plenty to talk about in season opening previews, but I think there's a lot of topics around this team. But let's just start with last year. They did what they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. They finished, you know, they finished undefeated. They ran the gamut. There is now a tendency to think, well, they're just going to just, you know, keep it rolling. But every team is different. So I guess the first question for you is, what are we going to see from this year's team, and how kind of primed are they to do what Blair Oaks wants to do every season, which is kind of make a run at a state championship?
So the good thing was, this time last year we were talking, the biggest question mark was, what was the defense going to look like? Because if you look, you know, they gave up about 31 points a game in 2021. I mean, I think that's the most the Blair Oaks team had given up in the program's history. And you know what? A lot of those kids came back and cut that number almost in half to about 16 points per game. Really looked great in that Lamar game. I know you got to see Blair Oaks play Lamar about a decade ago, and that was that might have been the highest scoring state championship
game. Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
This one did not quite get up there,
but it had the drama.
It did, and I that was the first question I asked Coach LePage after the game was, you know, how fitting was it that in a season where the biggest question mark was your defense, and you wrap up your season by getting a red zone stop on defense to win a state championship, and I thought that was about the biggest compliment for that defense was, like, sure, if you had any questions about us, we basically just answered every single one of them. And they're going to have 9 of those starters back.
Say, that's the great part is not only were they there when you needed them last year, they're going to be there here again this year.
And, I mean, and that's the thing, all 4 linemen, and that's also key because, you know, they did such a good job of shutting down the run game for their opponents. I know Bowling Green, you know, but Bowling Green just had so many athletes, and really outside of Bowling Green, not too many teams did much offensively on the ground against Blair Oaks. You got the linebackers are back. You got a guy like Brady Kerper. I mean, he had 20-plus tackles in that state championship game alone. He's already, I mean, he's got PWO from Missouri. You know, SEMO's got an offer a couple of MIAA schools. He's definitely getting some looks, and he also was a state runner-up wrestler this past since the football season ended. He's definitely going to be one of the leaders on that defense. But again, with so much continuity on that defense, I think there's just that much more confidence going into the season. Offense is going to it's going to just take some time to figure out some wrinkles, because as we're probably getting ready to note, is, you know, you don't have Dylan Herrett quarterback anymore.
Right. And not only do you not have Dylan Herrett quarterback, you don't have a Herrett quarterback, mm-hmm. but you've had a Herrett quarterback for about a decade now. So I think this is, you know, this has been the year that everybody's been pointing to, is like, yeah, let's see how Blair Oaks, how good they are, and let's get them when they no longer have a Herrett quarterback. So I know that's going to be a talking point. But what that's going to do is, I'm sure that Blair Oaks knows everybody's saying that, and it's not like they aren't aware of it. So, one, it's going to give them just an extra added incentive to prove that, okay, you know what, we can maybe do it without a hair there. But everybody who keeps hearing but let's see how good when they don't have one of those, everybody else on offense has probably been hearing that enough that they're like, we've got something to prove this year.
So in the season preview I wrote that's coming out in the News Tribune and Goal Lines, you know, the headline I gave was, you know, chip on, like, quote-unquote chip on their shoulder. And really, a lot, the chip on the shoulder is everybody's saying, well, what are you going to look like without Dylan Herrett?
Right.
It's somewhat justifiable, and it's
sure.
somewhat like, okay, you can only say that so many times. And it's not like the cupboard was empty behind Dylan Herrett. Let's be honest. Tyler Bax, who's going to be the starting quarterback, got a lot of playing time as a true freshman. Yes, it was when in the second half when they already had a huge lead. So, again, it wasn't a whole lot of pressure situations. But, you know, one of the things that jumped out to me was at the Jamboree last weekend was he had a nice deep ball down the sideline to Joey Wilde. That didn't look like a sophomore play. So, he's, I mean, you know, at one point Dylan Herr was a freshman.
Right.
You know, Tyler Bax is coming in as a sophomore. Is he going to make mistakes? Yes, but he's also not your typical sophomore. I mean, if you're going to be the quarterback of this team, you have to know what you're doing, and I'm pretty sure he knows what he's doing.
Don't get me wrong. Dylan Herr was pretty darn good from the moment he stepped in, but Dylan Herr was not the Dylan Herr of last year when Dylan Herr started. So let's just realize that we need to temper a lot of these expectations and go, well, there's going to be a drop-off. Of course there's going to be a drop-off. I mean, there was a drop-off from each of the Herrs to each other until they became, you know, better and better and better, and then kind of met or exceeded expectations. So, it's like they've had an embarrassment of riches, but you just don't say, well, now you're completely poor. You've probably still got a little bit of cash still left over.
And here's the thing I also point out to people, because they're like, well, Dylan Herr not back. I'm like, yeah, but they also have Eli Luckett, who, if people remember, he tore his ACL in the Jamboree last year. I mean, he probably, if he's healthy, there's a good chance he could have been an all-state type running back, and he would have taken some of those carries that Dylan had. You know, he's going to be back this year for his senior year. You got a Hayden Lackman, who, because Eli got hurt, had to start as a true freshman, had a 1,000-yard rushing season as a freshman.
Right.
So you've got two starting running backs back. Tyler Bax can run the ball. I mean, he's not going to have a 300-yard rushing game like Dylan Herr did, but he can run for 1,500 yards a game. And with this offense they've got, that's really all they need.
Sure.
And if I remember right, in the Southern Boone game to wrap up the regular season, he had almost 100 yards rushing just in the second half alone. So you've got three guys right there that can run the ball. You've got a couple of receivers back, like I mentioned, you know, Joey Wilde. I also mentioned Nick Closser is back. So you've got some familiar faces. You've got two of the five offensive linemen are back. You know, one of them is Cole Peters, who was an All-Stater last year. You're going to have three newcomers, but again, it's Blair Oaks. You know, when somebody graduates, there's always somebody in the wings ready to step in on the O-line. So it's not going to look the same.
Right.
But it's still going to be a really good offense.
I think it would be foolish for anybody to expect it to look the same. Every team has a transition period. I mean, sometimes it's only a game or two. Sometimes it's a couple games. That's why these are not one-game seasons. These are multiple-game seasons where you go, okay, we're going to play a 9-game regular season, and hopefully by the end of it, we're ready to be the best version of ourselves. So, you know, I kind of expect that there's going to be some growing pains. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You'd be foolish not to think so. Every team has them. So it's just a matter of, okay, what's the growing pain? So you're again, if you're going to have growing pains, you're pretty set pretty good on defense, you're set pretty good on offense.
Mm-hmm.
how we look in special teams wise, because that's one of those things that's where you always go, okay, that can be a difference maker.
They're good there too, because you've got Nolan Laughlin back. He's a junior and he's a third year starter at kicker.
Okay.
You know, made about 87% of his extra points last year, made a couple of field goals, talked to Coach LePage. You know, hey, it's one of those positions where, you know what, if you keep the same guy in that same position, he's only going to get better, right? And he's like, you know, you take a look at his three field goals, we're all in like the 23 to 26 range. You know, I've been told that he's made a 45-yarder in preseason, which would be the school record right now. I don't know. I'm not saying he's going to get a chance to kick a 45-yarder in a game, but and here's the other thing. Forget place kicking. Let's talk about kickoffs. A lot of times when Nolan kicked off last year, he was only able to get to the 15, you know, and really there's a chance for teams to make some runbacks to midfield or whatnot. And now he's kicking it to the 5 and maybe even a couple of times in the end zone. So we might see a few more touchbacks this year. Obviously, if you're going to kick it off to the 5, I mean, that's a lot of ground for the return game to cover. So maybe you get some stops at the 20, and it's almost the equivalent of a touchback. So
sure.
To me, that's going to be big. Now, on the flip side with punting, you're going to have a new punter because Dylan Hare was always the punter. He take 2 or 3 steps back and kick the ball. But at the same time, this is a team that did not punt much.
Right.
So that will be another one that will be very interesting to see, especially in week 1, you know, how often are we gonna see them punt the ball, or are we going to see them go for it on 4th down like they did a lot of times? So that'll be kind of interesting to see where that game develops.
We'll get to week 1 in a second, because I want to spend a fair amount of time on that, because I think it's kind of a showcase game, has been for the last couple of years. But let's take kind of the big view on the schedule from this standpoint. And I think one of the things when you're looking at the schedule, you know, for a lot of years you could kind of lock in certain things, or you knew it was going to be kind of this game's real similar and this going to – there was little variance between things. Well, there's a pretty big variance in terms of when you get sort of the middle of the schedule this year, there's kind of a hole where you go, okay, you know, Seaman, Kansas, you're looking at it going, okay, what's that all about and why is that there? Well, that's because the Versailles Tigers have left the Tri-County Conference.
Mm-hmm.
And it was unexpected.
In the middle of a cycle.
Yeah.
So you have to find somebody to replace
them. Yeah, I'm not going to say it was unexpected, because we'd heard rumblings about it for a while. But when it kind of came down, it came down kind of at an odd time where it was just like caught everybody at a bad spot. So everybody's kind of scrambling and had to fill that schedule. So that hole in the schedule. So it's just going to be a different one, not seeing them there, because we've kind of grown accustomed to seeing it. You know, I think it's probably a good move for everybody that they've gotten out, because they want it out. And I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see where the conference goes in the future. But for this year, at least, that hole gets filled by a team we're a little bit unfamiliar with.
Yeah, I mean, that's Versailles left in the middle of the 2-year cycle, and that's, you always, if you're going to have a change, you kind of want it to be at the end of that 2-year cycle. But again, you take a look, all the Tri-County teams, you know, Versailles is picking up a full conference schedule, so they can't keep all the Tri-County teams for non-conference games.
Right.
Blair Oaks was able to find the Seaman out of Topeka, Kansas, as a Class 5A school that went 4-4 last year. They had an opening on week 6, and they're coming to Blair Oaks, so Blair Oaks is getting another home game. You know, their other non-conference game, week 2, is Lutheran North, and that's one of those. I know you take a look at the schedule a lot of times. If you're home 1 year, you're on the road the other year. Well, they were able to host Lutheran North both years, so they're back home for week 2. A lot of home games this season for Blair Oaks. I mean, take a look, and week 1, going to Warrensburg is their longest road trip of the regular season. That's always a good thing when your longest road trip is 90 minutes one way. So a rare instance where you have 3 non-conference games. I know back in 2020, Versailles had to COVID out, and they picked up Valley Catholic. So 3 non-conference games. And it could change after next year. It just depends if the Tri-County wants to get an 8th school in before this next cycle begins next year. So if not, you're looking at another cycle where they have 3 non-conference games.
Yeah. So let's talk about week 1. Obviously, it's a game that we're kind of getting accustomed to seeing, but it's 8 o'clock tonight at Central Missouri against Maryville. It's kind of one of those things where I think when the series between the two schools started, we thought it was going to be good.
Yeah.
We thought it was going to be great. It has kind of totally lived up to that, and I think it's a very good thing when both sides feel like they've gotten out of the relationship what they want to get out of it. This has been something that's been great for both of them.
Yeah, I mean, you take a look at it, and I know Blair Oaks has won every one of these season openers against Maryville, but almost every game, I mean, there have only been 2 instances where I think there were blowouts. One was in 2020, when I think Maryville was missing, I know they're missing a large portion of their starters because of COVID, COVID restrictions, and there, I think Blair Oaks won that one with a turbo clock. In 2021, Blair Oaks won. It was like a 42-6 type game, but it was close up until the early part of the fourth quarter, and Blair Oaks just scored a lot of touchdowns late. But other than that, I mean, like, what was it, last year's game? You know, Blair Oaks got a huge touchdown pass on third and long with about a minute and a half to go. If that's an incomplete pass, they punt the ball back. Maryville may score and win in the final minute.
Right.
So it's a very, very good matchup that, you know what, the cool part was before they even played in the state semifinals in 2017, they had already arranged that they were going to play each other the following year. So I always thought that was kind of cool how it started with the state playoff matchup, and we've seen them play for the state opener or season opener ever since, and they've even met for a state title in 2020.
Right.
So, you know, a very good matchup, and I do believe they are going to continue it after this season. So you look, and there are a lot of teams that are trying to do those marquee matchups in week one,
sure,
like you were saying, and I think this is really one of the better ones.
And it's also one of those where, you know, sometimes you get in those games and maybe as a fan base or a coaching staff, well, we only want to play them when we're good, or, you know, we don't want to see them every time. I think both teams just kind of realize what good that kind of level of competition,
yeah,
especially the first game of the year. I think it just adds a kind of, it gets you off to a quicker start, I think, than, you know, if you ease your way into the season, sometimes you'd never really fully hit the gas. You're too busy easing on down the road. Whereas,
yeah,
this one forces you to be ready to go and laser focused from the first game to the last game.
Now, a lot of people might think, well, hey, Maryville hasn't won this since it started in 2017. Why would they want to be it? If you look at their schedule the past few years, at this point, they care more about playing tougher opponents than picking up those gimme wins.
Sure,
so,
sure.
Of course, they're going to want to keep this because it's going to make them better. You take a look at their strength of schedule. You know, they may go like 6-3 or 5-4 even, but they'll get to at least their district championship game because they play such a tough strength of schedule.
Right.
It gets them ready for October and into November. So, and elaborating more on Maryville, this will be an interesting look this year because in 2017 when they played each other, Maryville threw the ball one time.
Right.
Last year when they played, Maryville threw the ball 33 times and only ran it 32 times. Very unlike that Maryville wing tee, which, because of the personnel they have, and a lot of that personnel is back this year, you might see more of a spread offense from this Maryville team than you do a wing tee.
Sure, sure. You know, and I think, you know, not to harp too much on this, but I think one of the other good things about this game is it's never been a game where, like, somebody comes out of it with, like, bad feelings about the other team. It's,
yeah,
never like you never, you know, some teams you play, and no matter who's good or who's bad, they always get chippy, they always get chirpy, people are always,
mm-hmm,
chattering. These two teams just seem like they enjoy playing against each other, they play hard against each other, and then when it's done, they're like,
yeah,
good job, guys. That was an awesome game, you know, and that's what you kind of want. That's what, you know, you hope from, you know, high school athletics is sometimes it's just everybody gets elevated, everything goes according to plan. At the end of the time, you just leave and you just go,
yeah,
nice playing.
Yeah. You bring that up, and I mean, they're probably both going to be in Class 3 this year, but I remember the first meeting in 2018 up at William Jewell. I mean, Blair Oaks won that one like a 38-35, but Blair Oaks was Class 2, Maryville was Class 3, and they were both kind of rooting for each other to go on and win a state title,
right,
after that.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, it's one of those. I mean, everybody at Blair Oaks has utmost respect for Coach Webb and Maryville, and it's such a hard-fought game, and you get to see one of the – I mean, you know, Coach LePage will say this till he's blue in the face, that he keeps talking about, you know, Maryville is one of the top programs in the state of Missouri regardless of class over the past 10 years. Just look at the track record. And again, if you're going to talk Northwest Missouri football, Maryville almost – I mean, if they're not at the top of the list, I'd love to see who is at the top of that list.
Exactly. So I guess that just leads us naturally into the prediction point of the podcast, and I'll just say this might be your hardest one to predict out of these Blair Oaks Maryville games.
Yeah.
So who comes out on top on this one tonight?
You know, it all comes down to how much will Maryville keep throwing the ball? Because as good as Blair Oaks' defense is, if there's any slight weakness, it would be in the passing game, because we've seen a lot of teams kind of throw the ball deep or get the ball outside, and I do think Maryville is going to throw the ball 35, 40 times. How often? Because really, as good as Blair Oaks' D-line is, they're going to shut down the run game between the tackles. This is a game that I really do feel like Maryville's got 7 all-conference players coming back, including their quarterback, Derek Quinlan, who threw for about 2,500 yards last year. and they're and they really graduate a lot of their running backs, so they may stick with that passing game. I think Maryville can win, but I really just think Blair Oaks is going to come out on top in this one. I'm going to say Blair Oaks wins 42-28.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Greg Jackson, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Greg Jackson on Twitter at ActionJackson05. That's Action, J-A-X-O-N, 05. Thanks for listening.